Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one goth and...
A ginge.
Two girls, one goth, and a ginger.
Wow.
Do you like that?
Yeah, with it's a twist. Huge honor. Thank you for having
with
me.
With a ginger twist.
With a ginger twist.
Sounds like some sort of like seltzer drink.
I'm into it.
Yeah, I'm very into it. So we have Jared with us today again, and I thought it would be kind of fun to do a music-themed episode of Killing Time.
I love this.
Everything will kind of have a little music thread throughout the entire episode.
Everybody except for music. The worst thing, because we can't control that, frankly.
We can't. I wish that there are some music themed worst things, but we're still gathering.
Your worst experiences is music to our ears, so that counts.
There you go. Yes. Perfect. Make up a theme if it doesn't exist, you know, which is probably what we're gonna have to do for our dark day today, right, Billy? Because this probably isn't music themed.
You know what, the dark day is not music themed, and this is particularly dark. It's June 10th, and in 2004 Allie Landry divorces Mario Lopez after only 2 weeks.
Who would divorce Mario Lopez? Those dimples, man.
Irreconcilable differences after only 2 weeks of marriage.
Wait. Wow.
I love Mario Lopez.
2 weeks to decide. There's no way we can fix this.
Yeah, honestly, this marriage, this whole thing we spent all this money on, our families, 2 weeks. To decide you're done in 2 weeks is fascinating.
I need to know more. Was there a big wedding? How long did they date
before? Did she find out that he fucked her best friend? Like, there has to be some catastrophic betrayal to pull the plug 2 weeks in.
But I will say this. That was the joke one. I do want to say what the real one is. In 2007, this was the date of the Sopranos season finale and the cut to black ending. I want to talk to because I know that Alexis recently binged the entire series of The Sopranos. What is your interpretation of the cut to black scene?
Okay, so I had seen The Sopranos originally not when it aired. I saw it, you know, in high school, and I watched it again when the pandemic began. And my interpretation, if you look at that episode, my interpretation is that he's already dead. And when he's in the safe house and he's hiding from the, you know, the family that wants to kill him, he wakes up in the safe house and his arms are crossed and he's laying like he's in a coffin. And there's a lot of things that lend to the idea that he's dead. They have all these weird allusions towards the afterlife. If you look closely, if you deconstruct what happens between when Tony wakes up in the safe house and when he... final scene cut to black in this diner when his family is like made in America, right? And his family's in and out. And I think he's in like heaven. I think that's his heaven. I think it's like this Americana moment. He's in a diner.
I think they're playing Don't Stop Believing.
It's Don't Stop Believing. Yeah. But it was like one of those very American songs. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I think that's where he wants to be. I think he's dead.
Well, there's another...
is my interpretation.
There's a theory out there that... so... there is a guy that glances at him and then goes to the bathroom in the diner. Mm-hmm. That guy is credited as Man in Members Only Jacket. Now,
wait, I have a fun fact. I was in a members only commercial when I was a baby.
Oh my
God. That's a great
fact. Wow.
More interesting than anything we're talking
just
about.
Just let you know. I mean, listen, I didn't watch The Sopranos, so I got to pop in when I can. So continue, Billy.
So the title of the opening episode of the season was actually called Members Only, and that's when Tony gets shot. So what they're saying is that, and also Tony has said that his favorite scene from The Godfather is when Michael Corleone at the restaurant goes into the bathroom and gets the gun and then shoots the two guys at the table. So what they're thinking is that that is what's going to happen. He was just laying those Easter eggs out there.
No, I read an interview with the guy who wrote The Sopranos, and he literally was like, no, I didn't mean anything by that. Like, literally, you can Google it. And he was probed. He's like, it's for you guys to interpret.
Mm-hmm.
So I take it. He's trying to dodge and he's confusing
us.
Yeah,
listen.
And it worked. Listen, The Sopranos is a genius series.
Paul McCartney will say, like, the Paul is dead stuff didn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. There was definitely some stuff there.
Absolutely.
That was something that they all said, we're going to do this and we're just going to fuck with people and we're just going to bring it to our graves because there's something there.
For sure. Well, you know, it could have been them just kind of like doing stuff in a weird way. And then when it caught on, they were like, oh, we're latching on to this. But definitely something was purposefully happening.
Yeah. And I think that's what doing the members only thing, calling somebody man in members only jacket and then having the first scene, the first episode called Members Only is a little sketch to me. And I think he was leading us towards something. It was great.
I want to try to make everyone hate me really quick. I've only seen the first and last episode of The Sopranos.
All right, just watch it.
It's an insane
good.
Way to do it. Yeah.
I tried to get Jack in on it by saying Larry David makes a cameo, which he does.
That's such a small moment of delight.
That's perfect. And then don't tell her when. So then we have to watch
it. I'm not
going to
tell you
when.
Just watch all of it and wait for it. All
right.
Okay. Well, now I'm going to pop in because I did some research about Mario Lopez while you guys were talking about The Sopranos that I wasn't listening to. Mario Lopez did cheat on Ali Landry.
I would dump his ass too.
On his bachelor party. And then he was saying that he had second thoughts and wasn't in love with her. And then they still got married. So that is
who did
very
he cheat
dark.
On her with? Just a rando?
I think a random girl on his bachelor party.
That's awful.
I mean, how typical.
How
typical.
Cliche in a skeezy way.
Men are all the same. Men are 100% all the same.
Except
right,
for
guys?
Jared.
Oh, what?
Billy?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Except for Jared.
Except for Jared.
I don't want to be. No.
No, except
for you.
This is a compliment.
Okay. Well,
he doesn't want to get into a flame war with Mario Lopez.
Not guilty.
That's what he said.
No. Wrong section.
Oh, wrong
section.
Segment,
Jared.
Wrong segment. All right. Well.
Plead the fifth.
Now we've got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
All right, well, welcome to On the Stand. Today is a music-themed On the Stand. We're all bringing something music-related to defend or prosecute, and the rest of us will vote if it is guilty or not guilty. Who would like to go first? Billy?
Billy, go first.
Oh, you go first.
Okay. So last week, well, I guess last weekend, it's a Friday, we're recording. So, okay, last weekend on SNL, Lil Nas X mm-hmm. was the performer.
Yes.
And he was amazing and also sexy.
Oh, yeah.
I was so enamored by his sexuality and his, like, sensuousness and his lip gloss. I'm like, holy shit, his abs.
His thrust.
I was like, this gender-bending stuff, I get it. I'm here for it because I'm attracted. I don't know what that means, but here I am. And then he had this very provocative part of this dancing he did.
Dancing.
Where he grabbed D-A-N-S-E. He grabbed his crotch and he was on a pole and he like did a whole to-do. I was like, wow, so sexual. And then later I was Googling and I learned that he had actually split his pants and was holding his crotch so his dick wouldn't fall out of his pants.
Love it.
And I am here to say, whoa. The charisma to just handle it like that, he was amazing. He was gorgeous. He's talented, and he can handle shit under pressure. Because I was just, flabbergasted by his innovativeness and how he pulled that off so flawlessly. Because you thought it was part of the dance. You had no idea.
Yeah, and it's funny because he did. I think it was a TikTok that he did afterward. He's like, I split my pants on live national television last night, And he's like, I plan a lot of bullshit. That's what he was saying. He's like, I plan all these stunts. He's like, that was not planned. And it was so seamless. You would have never known if he didn't say anything.
You would never know. I would be like, well, he's holding his junk for a long time. But yeah. I was like, that's part of it. Because I know he likes to provoke people who are bigots.
Yeah.
He likes to do it and he should do it. And, yeah. you know, he's here. He's successful. And he likes to fuck with people who are anti-gay or whatever. And I was like, oh, yeah, he's doing it. And no, it was literally practical. Mm-hmm. He was just holding his junk so they wouldn't fall out. But you know what? Either way, I support him. I love that guy.
I love him so much because, like you were saying, he just trolls everybody.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I love him for
it. Yep. And it's amazing because he's just doubling down on who he is at his very core. And I fucking love it because he's just getting, like I said, so much hate from all these fucking asshole bigot pieces of shit. And he
oppressors.
And he is just living his best life.
Laughing to the bank, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was lap dancing Satan. Ooh, I'm like, get
love
it.
Yes. Love that.
Piss him off.
Pole dancing his way down to hell. I'm like, this is the fucking shit. Well, I loved it.
You got to give him props because every extremely intelligent artist, I feel like, has this sort of evolution to them.
Yeah.
And he, I mean, think about like when Old Town Road came out. It's like, would you ever think that this was going to turn into anything
that was going to be that guy?
Honestly.
And he's done such an amazing job.
I love Billy Ray Cyrus for getting on that song. And he's so random. His people are genius. Because we all know Billy Ray Cyrus because of Miley.
Yeah.
But that song really made him relevant with like Gen Z people. Yeah. Like it was such a smart move.
Yeah. It was such a great.
And it was the right move. Yeah. You know, like Lil Nas X is so talented.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to collab with him?
Yeah. But so you'd be like, hey, TikTokers, you guys like Achy Breaky Heart? And they'd be like, what are you talking about?
Lil Nas?
That's the guy that's on the track, right?
Yeah. No, he came out with a bang. With a bang. And everything about him is just so fabulous and fucking amazing.
And those shoes. Don't forget those shoes.
Lips. Yeah. His lips. I want. Like, I wish they were mine.
Yeah, I love him so much.
You're so sexy, Lil Nas, if you're listening.
Again, he's not listening.
Come on, you might.
He might be.
You never know.
Not guilty.
Oh, amazing.
Give him the gavel, in fact.
All right.
Not guilty. Acquitted.
Okay, I'll go next. So, on the stand today, and I am in defense of, because I love it so much.
Ooh, I can't wait for this.
The emo resurgence.
Ooh.
I never thought it would come, you know, and I am dating. I was almost going to say I'm married to, but I'm not married to you yet. I'm dating.
Jared is smiling.
Yeah, actually, we have an announcement.
Like, what?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to wait till we were live on the air.
You heard it here first. Jared's getting down on one knee right now.
He's tying his shoe.
Jared was in an emo band that has turned into a regular band that still has emo roots.
True.
I loved emo bands since I was 15 years old, and emo music sort of took a nosedive for a while, and I never thought it was going to come back, really, because it was like, you know, we had our time, it's nostalgic.
You think it was niche? But people still loved it,
It was
right?
always niche, but it's been so long that now all the people that loved emo music, it's been like 15 years, and now it's this big nostalgia wave that's coming back, and not only is it this big nostalgia thing, it's now mainstream.
Yeah.
I mean, Machine Gun Kelly all over the place, Megan Fox, maybe A-list celebrity, Travis Barker dating Kourtney Kardashian, A-plus list celebrity. We're now getting into the mainstream, and these are old school emo people. There's also this new wave of emo, which all the Gen Z emo, but it's the old emo is coming back, and I have never been happier in my life.
I love it. Yeah. I listened to that Machine Gun Kelly song. It's like my best friend's ex or something, my ex's best friend. I listened to that song on repeat one day.
It's so good.
I was like, I thought Machine Gun Kelly was a rapper.
And he was.
So he bait and switched me.
He pivoted because he knew it was going to make him successful.
But I'm telling you, like, it's emo stuff is good.
Mm-hmm. Jared, thoughts?
Well,
now The Maine is on the radio.
Yeah.
So, my first thought would be I'm so thankful that this is happening because it's really opening up a lot of doors for bands, especially like mine. Because
there's not that many bands that have been around for almost 15 years that get their first radio song now.
Right. And
dude, you're just Dude, this is so exciting.
It's just timing wise. You never
peaked.
Know.
You haven't even peaked yet. No. You're about to. This is so good.
You're about to peak.
You're going to be so rich. I can't wait to fucking tether my yacht to yours.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Wouldn't I don't have a yacht, guys. Wouldn't that be insane if Emo... I just mean eventually one day, hopefully.
Well, if Emo can buy a yacht, then I'll be completely shocked. We'll see.
You think Blink 182 doesn't have a yacht?
They weren't emo. They have been mainstreamed the entire time.
They were power punk or pop punk.
Whatever, been, guys. You know what I mean.
Blink's been like up in the. They've been in orbit since like the late 90s. Yeah. You know. So, I'm really thankful for it, and I think it's incredible that like people are giving it a shot, and so, like it's pretty much mostly Travis Barker doing all the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Like he has made such a name for himself in
working with other people
in a hip hop sense, and in that sense, making these connections and kind of turning the ship towards something that's a little bit more familiar with him that incorporates rock music. So because of that, something happened and people remember this genre from the 2000s. And it's like, it just kind of like came back and slapped everybody in the face. And it's
the
like,
lane is opening.
So excited.
It's crazy. So I'm just happy that we were able to hang on long enough to still be doing it when this came back around.
Hardly.
So.
I would hardly call what you're doing as hanging on. You guys have been doing amazing things.
But there are so many bands from back in the day that have disbanded because it is...
The demand... Dwindled.
Yeah, it did. It dwindled for like a while where nobody was really touring anymore and everybody kind of dropped off. But
we've had to be very creative, you know, and thankfully weathering the storm long enough and just kind of like doing our own thing, it's kind of come full circle. So I'm really excited once shit's back open, like seeing what actually happens. So
heck yeah.
I'm just waiting for Jack Vanek bracelets to be back in style.
Girl, the vintage ones are going to be on eBay for like $2,000 each.
Oh my God, for real.
A vintage JV.
Yeah, it's like Beanie Babies.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
That's what's up.
Wow.
Okay, Billy.
All right, so right before, we actually mentioned this last episode, or I brought it up, but I want to talk about the worst time in music history, which is the late 90s.
Oh, and excuse me.
I disagree. I feel like that's the best time in music history.
This is why we have these discussions. Now, I will say this, you know, as somebody that was playing pro roller hockey and in the arenas and hearing every...
Pro roller hockey. That's right. Everyone. Professional roller hockey.
And hearing every band that they signed after Nirvana and Pearl Jam.
Who's they?
The music industry.
The powers that be.
Powers that be. And you had so much of that aggro rock, which turned into, which you saw at Woodstock 99.
Totally. Name a few examples.
Limp Bizkit.
Love Limp Bizkit. Nookie, classic.
I got it. Well, I have to divert there only
Fred
because...
Fred Durst is some good shit.
Like, I accidentally grew up on Limp Bizkit. So it's
like, Limp Bizkit's not bad.
It was the thing that...
Ba with the Ba?
Okay, so
that
like...
That is Kid Rock.
Kid Rock.
Oops.
Well, you know, but this is... I think that kind of lends itself to Billy's point, though. That there was this weird... coagulated, like, leftover murkiness from, like, all the butt rock. We call them butt rock bands.
It's honestly a mixture between, like, Nickelback and real rock. Like, it's mainstreamy screamo rock.
I gotta tell you, though, Nickelback is real rock to a lot of people.
Honestly, my dad's favorite band is Nickelback, and I support him.
See?
Anytime anybody makes fun of Nickelback, I'm like, do you know how rich they are?
Oh my God, Chad Kroeger owns Vancouver, I think.
Yeah, no.
He's like the president or whatever that is.
It was when they were still selling CDs, and everybody knows who they are. No, there's a reason Avril Lavigne left Brody Jenner to be with him.
Honestly, even if you were a one-hit wonder in the 90s, you're a millionaire.
Rich.
So imagine how much money they have.
So is the bone to pick with the post with like post grunge, post rock? Like,
wait, name a few more. Name a few more examples.
Okay, now there was some good things going on because you had all the boy bands then, and you had Britney and Christina.
Yeah.
So like that part was going good, but I'm talking about like rock radio.
I loved early 2000s rock radio.
After grunge, but I'm talking about
All American Rejects?
No. He's talking earlier. Are you talking about like Eve Six?
Yes, Eve Six. I would swallow them.
Smash Mouth.
Harvey Danger had that one hit.
Yeah. Flagpole Sitter?
See, that's my shit.
That
dude.
Is my shit.
I'm not kidding.
Music. Eve Six, Flagpole Sitter, like that shit is my
when Jared and I go Edwin McCain.
That's the first CD that I ever
dude,
with
I love
money
Flagpole Sitter.
Flagpole Sitter by Harvey Danger.
It's the best.
When Jared and I go on road trips, we always play like a late 90s, early 2000s alternative radio.
Eagle Eye, Cherry,
Tonight.
One of the worst songs ever.
No, honestly, classic.
Best song maybe my favorite song in the whole world.
Wow. I honestly didn't think. There's never been a better time in radio music than the late 90s.
No, no.
Alternative radio.
The only good thing that was going on in the late 90s was Radiohead.
Is what?
Where Radiohead. Have you
no.
been? They Radiohead wasn't had, even on the radio.
Radiohead had OK Computer and they had Kid A.
Listen, that's different. You can't even compare Radiohead to radio to alternative radio.
They weren't playing Radiohead on the radio.
Music was awful. And then who saved music? Who saved rock music?
Music was great.
The Strokes and the White Stripes. Well, they come out in 2001 and they blow the doors off, and then that saved at least.
They course corrected. They course corrected some of it for sure.
I'd rather listen to Smash Mouth over the White Stripes.
But see, this is why. This is why. This is why I romanticize that whole period,
the
late '90s.
White Stripes,
right?
Is like shrill compared to the smoothness that is Eve 6. Or
oh my god!
Yeah. Like White Stripes.
Third Eye Blind.
No, White Stripes is
Third Eye Blind is my second favorite band of all time. Or of all time. I'm not kidding. Same with Jared.
It's when Tub Thumping came out. Like, are you serious?
Yes. Okay. Well, there's no. Especially being a music journalist at the time.
Oh, Billy, you're like, I was a music journalist. I'm a crime journalist. Like, you I've been a crime journalist for 30 years. Well, were you, or were you a music journalist?
No,
it can't be both.
I was a music and sports journalist until 1999.
Now
and
it's
then I became
a sports
a crime
journalist.
Now you're a sports and music journalist.
You know what?
And an independent indie journalist who can curse. Like, how convenient.
That was.
Ma'am, you're not prosecuting the issue.
I was working when you guys were in grade school. Yes, that is
this
true.
This is Alexis is really poking holes in your story.
Well, no,
your
it's story. Not poking it's holes convenient. In my story. It's not convenient. Well, it's what was happening.
My counterpoint would be this. It would be that the reason that I think I romanticized that period of music in my mind is that they were letting pretty much anything on the radio. Like,
that's
shit
not
was,
true.
She was all across the spectrum of rock music. Like, if you think like some weird like Zydeco shit, like Dave Matthews is on the same station as like
Kiss Bot Chris from A Rose. Seal.
That's happening around this time. Like,
that's a great song.
It is a great song, but it somehow was in the melting pot of all this other stuff. And like, I guess my point is like alternative rock and like rock stations in the late 90s were like willing to take chances on bands. That's probably why there were a lot of one-hit wonders. But
they're all so good.
Goo Dolls,
Sex and Candy, maybe Marcy.
Oh my god, Marcy Playground. Like, but dude, a lot
Black
of that
Hole
is so.
Sun?
It's so.
Well, that's Soundgarden. That's early.
Black Hole Sun is like.
Actually, you know,
no, Soundgarden doesn't. That's not in the same genre.
Yeah.
Well, I learned it about it at the same time. But Weezer.
Weezer, big one for me.
Mm-hmm.
Counting Crows, the Dandy Warhols.
Counting Crows. Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Everclear. Eve 6, Fastball, which we'll talk about later.
Wow. Fuel?
Green
Dude,
Day,
Fuel.
Fuel.
The Fuel crossed the line into like
Incubus.
Slight butt rock,
Incubus.
And I loved it.
Ugh.
Yeah.
So Lit.
Lit.
With the Pamela
Marcy Playground.
Pamela Anderson, the Lit song, You Make Me Completely Miserable. I remember listening to that on fucking repeat.
Yep. Oh, God. Wow. I don't think we're going to agree on this.
I think this might be a case of...
Mistrial.
Well, there's three of us.
Okay, yeah.
So
whose is this? Billy's?
Yeah, this is mine. Yeah.
All right, so you're voting...
Guilty
as all hell.
Wait, guilty as it's bad?
It's the worst. It's the
late
worst.
Late 90s.
Late 90s is the worst period. It's the worst sort of like 4-year block from 96 to...
I've truly never disagreed on anything with you more than I do on this subject.
Me too. That's the most nostalgic time musically for me. I cry when I hear that music now because I love it so much.
Yes.
Not guilty.
I owe my whole career to it, so I have to say not guilty.
Not guilty.
Sorry, Billy. Ooh. You've been outnumbered.
All right.
All right, Jared, your turn.
Oh, okay. So I didn't have really any ideas for this, but I was on, I forget where I was the other day. Have you guys heard of K-pop?
Yeah, of course.
Duh.
Okay, so Korean pop music. I know nothing about it, and I knew nothing about it until about 3 days ago. I guess the biggest band in K-pop is BTS, correct?
Yeah, yes. One of the biggest bands probably in the world.
Okay, so we grew up with like boy bands and stuff, and like we were used to that like sugary pop stuff. This is on a whole other level of sugary. I don't know, like... I just hadn't listened to it. I know it's the biggest thing in the world. I was afraid to even bring it up because I know their fan base is like an entire army of people who like, you know, they super duper defend them. But I got to say, I heard this new song by BTS. It's called Butter. Have you heard it?
No.
It's so good.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Really good. It's like a pop classic. And I was shocked. And I was like working out to it. Normally I'm working out to like Metallica and like, heavy
I'm
shit.
Punch metal.
Yeah, and
kick
I'm like, yeah,
walls.
And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna put the song on, and I
like
literally had it.
And I go. So I watched the doc on Netflix about the girl K-pop group that is the equivalent to BTS.
Is it Blackpink?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I watched the Blackpink documentary and I fell in love with them. And I love, like, I think one of them is from Australia or New Zealand. Oh, and weird. One of them is from England. But they all speak Korean. Some of them don't speak English, though. But and they all have this, like, they talked about their relationship and their story. Their entire K-pop world is like American Idol, where you audition and mm-hmm. you're put in a band. And
that's the other thing, too.
It's a calculated
thing. It's like
you
go to, like, camp. Like, a camp. Yeah. Like, there's,
no,
like, a training.
Like, oh, no, you're selected. Like, oh, yeah. If you pass all this, you'll make it in K-pop. You have to be the best of the best. They put you through, like, boot camp.
Yeah.
And they handpick you, and they curate groups, and then they blow you the fuck up.
Yeah.
And you become a sensation. It's like American Idol. If you win American Idol, well, you're famous. It's like that with K-pop, except they...
It's like Lou Pearlman, but...
Yeah.
Crazy.
And more mechanical.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you apply here. Here's where you... Yeah. Here's the first stage of camp, where you go and you learn how to dance and this. And it's like, they're curating the best of the best. And I was so fascinated by that model. And I was actually sort of more into it than the American model, because here your odds are just a fucking crapshoot.
At least you know if you've made it.
At least you're competing for your actual skills. Like, people right. here mm-hmm. become famous when they fucking suck because they have a rich parent or they get lucky.
Like on TikTok or something.
Or they get lucky. But, like, also, I'm not knocking that. That's fucking great. Yeah. But at least there, you're literally, like, competing because you have better skills, dancing, singing. And they're like, okay, you're going to be famous. We're going to make you famous because you're the best. And I was sort of into that. It was sort of like the Olympics of musical talent, and they skyrocket the best to the top. And I didn't hate it. I'm not knocking people in the U.S. I'm just saying, I thought it's so different than what we're used to.
Alexis Linkletter cancels people in the U.S.
Cancels all U.S.
Every American. Alexis Linkletter disparages every American. Fuck. Okay.
Oh my
you
God.
Hear me though. Right, I'm just yes. saying, I love their model.
Yes.
It's different than ours, and I support it.
So
yeah.
So I guess I just kind of came here to put K-pop on the stand because, like, do we think, is this a good thing? Is
yes.
this, like, a good thing for the future of pop music and music?
You know what? I will say this. I do appreciate them, but they also just came out with a BTS meal at McDonald's.
They did? What yes. is it?
Dude, that's how you know you're rich.
A fan just tweeted that.
Right, here's what it is. Alexis is going to really like it.
Oh.
10-piece chicken nuggets.
Whoa.
Cajun and sweet chili sauces, which are not sauces that you normally get at McDonald's.
No.
So they're bringing them out.
Wait, a sweet chili is a UK sauce.
And medium fries and a Coke. That is the BTS meal.
Also, I love that
that's my order, if just ketchup.
Wait,
and
you
so
can
I didn't
get,
discard
you can
the
get sweet chili at an American McDonald's
that's
right
what
now?
I'm saying. It's a very European thing.
That's what they're saying right now. For a limited time, you're able to get that.
That's a
so
big
deal. So basically
all
they did is bring in two extra sauces.
That's
so
right.
Basically, I love them even more now. This is amazing.
Okay, BTS...
I'm saying not guilty.
Not guilty.
Unanimous.
Biggest fans.
Yes, big fans.
Cool.
All right, well, when we come back, it's time for some True Crime Rewind.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and the RealReal makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For the RealReal, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world, and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on TheRealReal.com using code FIRST. That's TheRealReal.com using the code FIRST.
True crime.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
Music and crime really do go hand in hand. And since we have our own resident rock star here, Jared Maine,
Jared Maine.
Monaco, at Jared
okay.
Maine.
Use the handle, Jared Maine. Yeah, that's fine.
Yes. So, Jared, there's so many crimes that are connected to music. We're going to talk about a bunch of them. What, when you think music and crime, what's the first thing that jumps out at you?
Man. You know what's funny is it's such an innocent crime.
What?
Milli Vanilli.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
I don't know why. That's the first. Yeah, that's the fraud. It's deception.
Which was really such an insane story.
It was.
Well, you know, when I think about crime and music, the first one I'm going to think about is John Lennon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've all talked about that. But then, you know, I wanted to talk about crimes that actually musicians perpetrated.
Oh, okay.
So it goes to the first one I'm thinking about is Sid Vicious. Now, Sid Vicious, the Hotel Chelsea in New York, he killed his girlfriend. Bottom line, he killed his girlfriend. He says he didn't remember it, but he stabbed Nancy in, I believe it was the stomach. She dies in the bathroom of the Hotel Chelsea. Now, Sid Vicious is considered sort of a rock and roll icon. The guy was really, really shitty as a bassist, and he really couldn't play.
And I didn't know that.
I mean, he's not known for his bass playing.
No,
he's known for the murder.
He's known for something else.
He's known for being a guy that was like, oh,
addicted to drugs and did a crazy. Yeah.
And he did when he sang "My Way" was probably the best thing that he did.
Yeah, I mean, you went by Sid Vicious. It's like.
Yeah.
I'm jealous of the nickname, frankly.
Man,
so
you can't be that edgy anymore.
What was his real name? Do we know?
I know it. John Simon Ritchie.
Oh, that's not,
it's not a bad name, but it's
too
three
late
first
in my career
names
to do Lex Vicious, or is that?
Yeah, that's too, I think you're too
okay,
late.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. But also, let's talk about some other people. Okay. Leadbelly. Now, you know who Leadbelly is, right?
Yes.
I don't. What is it?
Okay. You know the song Where'd You Sleep Last Night that Nirvana does on Unplugged?
Yes.
In the Pines.
Yes.
Great, great murder ballad. Well, that was done by Leadbelly. And he actually murdered a relative while fighting over a woman and was sentenced to 35 years in prison.
Woof.
Yeah.
A relative? Fighting a relative?
Mm-hmm.
That's very obtuse.
Mm-hmm.
Like a second cousin?
He only served 7 years, though. But his guitar actually was up for sale. And Kurt Cobain wanted to buy it. And he asked David Geffen to buy it for him. David Geffen said, no, I wouldn't. I won't buy it for you. Now, here's the crazy thing about that story is that he had the guitar that he played on, that Kurt Cobain played, on Unplugged, right?
Mm-hmm.
Famous guitar, one of the most famous performances ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
The guy that Francis Bean Cobain married, she gave him the guitar and then she tried to get it back after they divorced, and the guy freaking kept the guitar and then auctioned it off.
I remember this happening.
So the fact that he mentioned that on the show, that he wanted a famous guitar, and it's like, and then he sings that amazing song. It's one of the most horrific stories I've ever heard in rock and roll.
That's like you don't tamper with the family. Cornerstones of.
Why would she have given that guitar to that guy?
Music history.
Maybe he took it from their marital home. Like maybe she didn't give it to him.
No, she might not have even given it to him.
It could have been like it's a contentious divorce. He takes it, and unless a judge orders it given back, that's what fucking happens when you move in with someone and you get into a fight.
And,
you know.
By the way, The house that he wrote In Utero in is actually up for sale for $1 million.
What?
In the Hollywood Hills, yeah. It's the one with the steps, though. Remember I told you about that place that has all the steps?
I'll take a step if I live in a Kurt Cobain house. Yeah.
The one thing I will say about that guitar, certain guitars that you'll pick up, usually like old, like vintage guitars, like, they almost have a soul to them. You can feel like there's something about either the craftsmanship or the history of it, whatever it is, it feels different. So to take something like that and remove it from the family that had this history with it. It
almost feels
that's a bummer.
It's your birth. It's your
birthright.
It's even
darker. There's something is like to spite your ex-wife like that is fucking disgusting.
It's your birthright. It's one thing to do.
It's a house or something, or a dog, but it's mean spirited. No, a house and a dog equally fucked up, Billy.
Yeah,
it's literally a family heirloom.
Family. No, yeah. it's generationally fucked up.
Yeah. It's like taking your grandma's ring.
I'd be pissed.
Not okay.
I'd be pissed.
I'd be mad.
All right. So next, we are going to hear your worst stories, the worst things that you've ever done.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
We're back, friends. The worst of the worst has risen to the top, and we're here to explore it. Thank you for bearing your soul to us. We are forever grateful. We're going to just dive right in to our firsty worsty.
Wait, Alexis, before we do this, please tell our firsties where they can call in and tell us their stories.
Please actually call us. We're your biggest advocates. 323-539-3516. Absolve yourself. Get that weight off your chest, off your shoulders. It'll feel amazing. And we always have the backs of those of you who share your confessions with us. Yes. And we appreciate you. And if you even are in the position to share them, because you feel bad about them, then you're a great person. But anyways, up to the first one. Here we go.
Okay, guys, worst thing I've ever done. I was about 21 or 22, my first job out of college, went out with some coworkers, got totally drunk, saw this cute guy at the bar. He was hitting on me. I found out that he was pretty high up in local government, married with kids. We end up going back to the mayor's office and have sex on the conference room table. While we were having sex, I realized it's the smallest penis I have ever seen, felt, completely sober up, get the hell out of there, walk to breakfast the next morning with a bunch of friends, sit down at the diner. Who is there but this man and his wife and children, and he has a new set of twins. So, that's the worst thing I've ever done. Don't judge me.
Yes. Okay. My favorite thing about what you did is I love just like the mayor's office conference room.
Sexual.
It's like you, yes, you rally against the institution. You express yourself in the mayor's office, even when no one knows. It feels good to rebel.
The thing is, I don't even think she thought that she was heading that way. It just happened to be in her favor.
Girl, you're like a revolutionist and don't even know it.
Oh my God.
You were fighting against the patriarchy and you didn't even mean it. You were fucking on that conference room table and you were like, I'm just trying to get it in. But you were suddenly a feminist icon.
Yes. I love this so much. Uh-huh. I wish that we were sitting at a table with her because I have so many more questions. You know, I want to know, did she talk to this man the next morning? Did she make eye contact with him? I know he was with his entire family. Like, what was the guilt that he was feeling? Had he showered since then? You know, so many questions. What did his wife think that he was doing late at night when he should have been home helping her take care of her
newborn
twins?
And also, I do want to say, girl, I know that you think this is the worst thing you've ever done. This is actually the worst thing he's ever done.
And like, you know what? Well, it probably isn't the worst thing
he's ever done. We don't know that's the worst thing he's ever done.
Yeah. Way worse.
That's probably a mild thing that this guy has
done.
We're
going to need him to call in, I guess.
Can we have his number?
Yeah.
We could send him an email.
If this rings a bell with anybody out there, please call in.
Male politicians don't listen to our podcast.
You don't know that.
Steve Ballone, I know you probably listen. Anyone else? Probably not.
Rob Trotta listens to us. You know,
them, but that's it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is a fantastic story. And again, not the worst thing you ever done. I don't think that she said that she knew that he was even in a relationship. So
she didn't.
Typical male behavior.
Girl, this is not a you thing. This is a you thing and totally normal what you did. I will say what this man did is also totally normal for men like this.
Pieces of shit.
And it's not on you. You didn't take the vows. People who know that people are married, I mean, that's a choice. These situations are very nuanced. Try to reserve judgment. But I don't think this is the worst thing you did. I think it's amazing, and I think it's a great story.
Amazing.
Well, I don't know. I'm trying to find a culmination to this. I think this story is great. I don't know.
Alexis is in awe.
Amazing.
I want to know what county you're in because of the mayor. Like, I want to know more, but I never will because this is an anonymous situation. But from what you told your side, I mean, this is like blind, youthful hookups, and sometimes they overcross with fucking politics and adultery, but it's not your fault.
I just want to know if this man saw her in the diner and was like,
of course he
panicked,
did.
Sweating into his omelet.
Dude, if a guy's attracted enough to fuck a woman, then he's attracted enough when she walks in a diner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he noticed her, especially if it was the night before. Trust me, he saw her.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he probably shit his pants, as he should.
Gosh.
And I hope his wife was like, what's wrong?
And he's like,
that's what his wife sounds like.
What's wrong?
Everything.
No, again, not the wife is innocent. I mean, the dude lied, and here we are. But anyways, on to the next.
Love it.
The
love
worst.
It.
Also,
love
we're
it.
In total support of you, by the way.
Listen, we've all done it.
And maybe not knowing it. And people who are judging right now, you did it and they hid their ring. So reserve your fucking judgment.
We've all hooked up with a married guy accidentally.
Knowingly or not.
Hi, Billy, Jack, and Alexis. My name is Kate. And after listening to your recent Killing Time episode, I figured I would call in with my cringeworthy story. So rewind, I think it was like 6 years ago. I was just like a drunk early 20-year-old or something. I think I was probably like 23 or something. One of my friends was down from Michigan, so we decided to go out because it was the day before Halloween. I think it was like a Wednesday or something. So I lived in Charlotte, North Carolina at the time. I don't know if I should say that, but whatever. Okay, so we went out to this bar. We ended up, you know, getting blackout drunk, as you do. And we met this guy who ended up like coming back with us to my apartment. But when we got to the apartment, I had left my keys in the Uber. So, at the time my apartment was on the third floor and we had like a little side roof that slanted down and there was like a little gutter. So in my drunk brain, I was like, oh, cool. Like, I'll just climb down that and I'll like climb in through my window. I don't know what I was thinking. Like I said, it was on the third floor. Also, it was like blackout. And this was like 3 a.m. So I climbed down to what I think is my window. And I kind of shimmy across this little area right where the gutter is, very dangerous. I lean over and I had like these sharp nails at the time. And I cut open the screen, or I lifted up the window and cut open the screen when somebody, this large man came to the window and he said, of all the things he could have said, he said, hey, what can I do for you? And I don't know what I did because I don't really remember. But that's all I remember. And then the next day, leaving the keys in. So because I left my keys in, that was not my apartment. I had to kick down my door. That's what the guy at the bar that we found at the bar, he came back with us and he kicked the door in for me. So the next day I had to go to the front office and was like, oh my God, somebody broke in to my apartment and like kicked in my door. Can you like fix it? And they were like, oh, okay. Yeah, for sure. Super weird though, that's your apartment, because somebody in that same building said that somebody tried to come in through their window last night. And I was like, oh my God, no way. But also, this is what makes the story way, way better. So like I said, it was Halloween. So I was in a costume. And of course, of all things, I was Spider-Man. So I was dressed as Spider-Man going into this person's apartment at 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't know how I didn't get like shot, stabbed, had the police called on me. I don't know, by the grace of whatever God.
Okay. This isn't the worst thing
that ever happened to her. This is the best thing.
This is the absolute best thing.
Oh my God. She is an absolute menace.
Yes.
Icon.
Oh my God.
Dressed
iconic.
Everybody did the right thing in this situation.
Yes.
The guy saying, how can I help you?
But then called the next day, like, just so you know, someone tried to break in. But yeah. I asked them if I could help them, and it wasn't scared or anything.
Yeah, I love that the guy just, he was like, this young lady tried to break through my screen in my window. Spider-Woman tried to break into my home.
And dressed up as Spider-Man, and then having long nails. And then actually cutting.
No, it's like a Spider-Woman, Catwoman hybrid. Uh-huh. She's like,
I thought she was going to say Catwoman.
She was so descriptive that I really got the visual of the entire story.
Absolutely. I was there. My favorite
is that she's like, I need my door built back up. Someone kicked it in. And it's like, you kicked it in. Your cohorts kicked it in. And then you're like, oh shit, I was drunk. Like, I don't remember it, it didn't happen. My door got kicked in and I needed fixed.
The entire apartment complex was up in arms from a breaker-inner. And it was her
Spider
the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And including her. They're like, oh my God, another complaint of this spider-clad.
Spider-Woman doing a B&E.
Vigilante.
Yeah.
Oh, you are so good, lady. That is a great story.
Absolutely incredible. Yes. A+. I can't believe you think that's the worst thing you've done.
That is a victimless crime.
Yeah, so you go into the Killing Time Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I think that is Hall of Fame level.
Honestly, because it's a victimless crime.
Yeah.
No one got hurt except, like, did you ever find your keys? Like, email us. I want to know, like, did this hurt? Because otherwise, this is a victory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We all dream of having a night like that. Especially now. Does. Like, I would love.
No, we're going to go do this.
It's a night of pure debauchery that she never got in trouble for.
With no consequences.
Yes.
You got back in. They fixed your apartment. That guy didn't shoot you or hurt you or drag you in, which would have been the worst case scenario.
I mean, that could have gone.
You were also wearing a sweet vigilante superhero costume. Like, you are my hero.
Classic.
I wish I knew your name.
I know.
Follow me on Instagram.
We love you so much.
Bye.
Well, it's not time for goodbye yet, Alexis, because as we all know, we end with the Costanza stanza.
Oh, I got ahead of myself. I do have a Costanza stanza for you. And the title of this one is George Costanza, a Tinder profile. And this is George Costanza writing his own Tinder profile.
Right.
I love it.
An honest Tinder profile. A stout man who's insecure, selfish, and neurotic. An average Joe with no interests, far from the exotic. Inadequate sexually, devoid intellectually. I've been living with my parents as a grown man. It's sad. But I have sex with women in their bed. But yeah, the sex is bad. Mommy issues, daddy issues, They both essentially hate me. Because of this, they belittle, mock, and berate me. Wow. I'm joining Tinder because I'm terrible at relationships. Hand modeling was my only joy, but then I burnt my fingertips. Lastly, people think I murdered Susan, my wealthy fiance. But that's something that I would have never done because she was my big payday.
Ooh.
Go out with me, George.
Go out with me, George.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.